Welcome to another edition of One More and I'm Going Home, I'm Going to Bed. Justin Vargo here with Josh Jones. We're recording this episode on Wednesday, June 26th.
Back on the two-week schedule,
Back
baby.
Back on the two-week schedule. What are we drinking today?
We're drinking PBR, calls America.
For America.
Fuck yeah!
For America. America. It's a good day for it, too, because it's hot.
It was hot today. Well, it's rained. It was like, it's been like 40 days and 40 nights of rain.
I know, so I was looking for a Noah's Ark out there.
So I'm happy we had 2 days of actual sunshine, even though the power went out on this one.
I saw that. Did you lose power?
Yeah, we did. Did you lose power?
I didn't lose any power, but I noticed we went to Walmart yesterday, and or was it yesterday?
It was
day,
Monday.
The day before.
Yeah.
We were heading out, and all of Kroger's and everything was, I mean, Kroger's was on because obviously they got a generator. Yeah. But that light right there was out, and as we kept going, Shell and everything was on. And of course, you know, Walmart, that light up there was working. But did they say what happened?
No, I'm not sure. We didn't get power back till like, I don't know, 11 something that night.
How long was it out?
About four or five hours at our house. Well, it's funny, as we were at Rio, it was a group of us, and our buddy Josh Phillips was with us, and he'd been drinking all day. He started at noon.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, watching the U.S. Women's soccer team. Yeah. So he started at noon drinking. So they were pretty, him and his buddy Neil were pretty hammered.
They were lathered
up. We were at dinner with them. And so the power goes out, and you have to, everybody's trying to settle up, and they can't take credit cards, so you've got to take cash.
They didn't have a swiper?
They didn't have anything. No. So luckily, Haley was with us, and she's a server. So she hadn't been in the bank, so she had a lot of money in her card, like you back in your day. So we all kind of borrowed money from Haley, was paying her, you know, bills one time. Well, Josh's like, oh, I forgot my sunglasses. So he goes back, and we're at the next to last table at El Rio, these long tables. We were sitting at the next to last one, and there's people in front of us and behind us. Well, he goes back to the table to get his glasses, and he's at the wrong table. Looking for his glasses, and there are people still sitting there. He's like,
"Excuse me."
He's scooping around the
Josh
dishes.
Josh is a big boy.
And they're like, "Hey, buddy!" I'm like, "You were at the table behind us."
He's like, "Could you move your enchilada? I had some Ray-Bans over here somewhere."
I laughed so hard at that. I can't even tell you. So then we got home. Power's out. So were
you pretty much finished with your meal when the power cut out?
Yeah, we just decided to leave and the power cut out. So we went up to pay our bills. They were like, we can't take your credit card.
So usually, of course, I worked in, well, you did too. I worked in food business for 15 years.
You swiped it. It was like
there's like a 1985 credit card where you put the imprint of the card. You got like 3-ply paper.
Right.
You scan it over and move it this way. And then
that wasn't an option there.
Okay.
You had to pay cash.
That probably wasn't in the budget.
Yeah. What's funny is I end up in all the confusing stuff. Like I had a $20 bill in my pocket, so in my wallet. So I was like, well, I got $20. And we ended up borrowing like $40 from Haley. So I had my wallet out, and apparently I just left my wallet there on the counter where I had my wallet out. So the next morning I got up and I was like, where's my wallet? And I was like, oh man, did I leave it at Rio? So I called about 10:45. Then I went to 11. So I'm calling, it's ringing. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to let it ring. What do I get to lose? So finally, somebody answers. And it's not El Rio, whatever. It's like, yeah. That's how they answered. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, is this El Rio?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I was like, what, did I leave a wallet there? It's like, yeah, a little card wallet. I was like, yeah, that's mine. Yeah. I was like, okay.
That's a good way to answer the phone.
Yeah. That's how it was.
What do you want? Who this?
Good customer service you got going on there. So, yeah, I got a story about some customer service at Kroger's I'm going to tell in the next segment.
Oh, okay, good. I can't wait to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do? Do the call ahead grocery shit?
No. It's a sexual harassment thing. Discrimination.
Were you discriminated against?
Yes.
Were you?
Yes. That's my story. You want to tell it now?
You go for it.
All right, so we go to Kroger's. Well, I go to Kroger's. And I'm just picking up a few things. And there was this, you know, lady there. She's an attractive lady, really attractive. She's wearing these white...
Did she have a wedding ring on?
I didn't know. I wasn't that close to her.
And you're supposed to be prospecting.
Well, I'm engaged.
I'm not talking about you.
No, I wasn't looking.
All right, go ahead.
But she was wearing these like white, I don't know, kind of flimsy pants. I don't know. Like, they're not yoga pants, but they're kind of loose. And with like a black pair of underwear. So it's, you can see through it. I was like, that's inappropriate for Kroger's, but it was fine looking.
This is an employee?
Or
this
no, somebody shopping.
Oh, okay.
So we just happened to, like I saw her go down the aisle. So as we're checking out, she's right next to me checking out. So, you know, we're checking out and she finishes just before me. And there was a guy that's in the self-checkout lane, you know, and, you know, has to go check your IDs, you know, and does everything. Well, she gets done right for me and she leaves. And as she's leaving, I hear him go, have a nice day. And she's like, thanks. And I was like, so I get my stuff. I walk right by.
You didn't get one.
I get nothing. I was like, that's sexual discrimination. I was like, well, I didn't get,
you know what you
need to do? I deserve a nice day too,
here's
buddy.
What you need to do. You need to get you a pair of white yoga pants and some black underwear and go back into Kroger.
I don't have a butt. That'd be useless. I mean, my backside goes from my back to my legs.
Sometimes I feel like it's attached to your neck.
That's about right. Anyway, that's sexual discrimination.
Did you voice your concerns?
I thought about it. I'm going to go talk to Matt, who's the owner, operator, I guess manager there. You tell him that. I feel sexually discriminated.
I think
against.
You should.
Yeah.
I mean,
I deserve a nice day, too.
You do.
She's not the only one who deserves a nice day.
No. I'm with you. I think you got a case, man. I think you got a case.
Anyway, I was perturbed by that way more than I should have been.
And that is what grinds your gears?
That's what grinds my gears, exactly.
Speaking of grinding gears, you have a new job.
I have a new job since the last episode 2 weeks ago. So I started my job on Monday at the Work Street Housing Development Fund, and I quit on Wednesday.
Long tenure there.
Yeah, I put my time in.
Did you find out if you were the shortest lived employee they've ever had?
No, apparently they've been shorter. Really? Some people don't even make it back the next day. What was so funny? And I feel real bad because the lady who was with my supervisor, she's obviously stressed out, and they really need somebody in that role. And I'd have been perfect for it, and I think I was perfect for it. But you know, just another opportunity came up that I couldn't turn down. So I go in that third day, and the second day, we're like, oh, yeah, we're so happy. We're glad you came back the second day. So I come in the third day, and I walk in her office, and she's like, oh, you made it back for a third day. And I thought,
Not really.
I said, I got something that I got to take.
Funny thing happened on the way back to the ranch.
So she was pissed, I could tell. She was upset. But, you know, I got offered another job with the Stewards Individual Placement Program and the Conservation Legacy, and I'm the Vista Development Coordinator. I'll be able to go out in different communities and develop projects and recruit Vistas and AmeriCorps people, so it's more something that I would like to do. So I couldn't turn it down. Plus, I could drive to Beckley instead of Charleston.
Real question is, who was more disappointed, her or George Gannon? They won't have a buddy to go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah, exactly. George said, damn it, I was going to order a ping pong table or something, like a foosball table. I got to put that on hold now.
Shit, his woman ain't going to let him do that.
No, not at all.
He ain't getting authorization to do that. You lie to us, George. You can't lie to yourself.
But I do feel bad. It really is. It's a wonderful place to work. It's a wonderful organization. But I didn't do what was right for me. And George, he was like, that's the cold, cruel world of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to take the best job that's available for you.
You got to do you. Mm-hmm. You do you, man. You do you.
But anyways, that's been my 2 weeks. It's been adventurous.
Yeah,
to say the least.
It has been. Yep, it's been good.
What's funny is I walked in the pies that Wednesday that I quit, and I saw Josh Phillips there, and I was like, what are you up to? I was like, I started my new job on Monday. Quit today. 3 days in, baby.
You even qualify for a check?
Well, another good thing about it is, too, with the Washington House of Development Fund, I wasn't going to be able to keep my real estate license and home inspection license. But in this job, I can. I can still do that. So I'm happy about that.
Good. Well, congratulations again.
Yeah, thank you.
Until the next show.
Until you have another job. Yeah. Who knows?
Nothing's set in stone with you. Something that is set in stone is Canate is officially done.
Yeah, heading to Toronto.
Signed with the Raptors.
Yeah.
I give it a week.
Well, it's a summer camp position. We've had a lot of people sign with that with the summer camps. Yeah, he's gonna play in Europe. I don't think he's gonna make the Toronto roster. So, hey man, more power to him. If that's what he wants to do. Bad people bashing him and everything. And I'm still believing once a mountaineer, always a mountaineer. I know it's a bad taste in your mouth the way he left and how it went, But I mean, I'm not gonna root against him.
I think I'm more the whole situation. Number one was just odd, and yeah. number two is it's more disappointing than anything else. Like I'm more disappointed.
Exactly. It's not angry or mad at him. Just disappointed.
I mean, it's like you're kind of like, you know, what could have been.
Right.
You know what I mean? What could have been if he'd have played this year? What could have been if he'd have come back next year and played with Schwebe and Culver and McCabe and all those guys? I mean, I think an open floor, him and McCabe would have been fun to watch. But, you know, I mean, he obviously is doing what he thinks is best for him. And
yeah.
I think he's got a lot of people in his ear.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more outside influence that, you know, you can't control. And if that's what he thinks is best, more power to him. I don't think it's best for him. But, you know, who am I to say?
And I wasn't as upset that he left after this year because I don't think any of us thought after this year, even if he'd have played the whole year, he would have come back.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of the same situation as David Long. He's not going to get any taller.
Right.
He is what he is. I mean, but in my opinion, if anything else, the way he was this year, it hurt him.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's a choice that some people have to make. Would you rather be a college star and like a legend, or would you rather be
an
NBA afterthought,
reserve,
or a European player? And that's unfortunately a lot of choices people make, and it's a lot about money. You hate to say it is, but it's a lot of money. I mean,
oh, there's no doubt about it.
And that's the reason why, you know, they want to go, and people bash on college athletes, but it's a lot of work. I mean, they practice and they have to put a lot of work in between school time and playing basketball, especially if you're an undergrad. So, yeah, it just sucks. I feel bad that we didn't get to see him at his full potential because I think we missed that because he was still raw when he was really good. You know?
That's the thing. I mean, he never got to the point where he was polished.
Exactly. He was still raw, so we never got to see him at his full potential, and that's what sucks.
And if he had another year with Hugs and Eric Martin, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying we would have.
Yeah,
we would have won 25 games this year, but it just kind of would have been. It just kind of leaves you wondering what if.
Exactly, that's the thing. We just wonder what if, which is the story of being a Mountaineer.
Yep, that's what if. We're used to that.
What if Major Harris wasn't injured the third play of the game against Notre Dame? So,
sure, could have, would have.
Yeah, that's the story of being a Mountaineer fan.
But him going out, and then we mentioned this guy 2 weeks ago, and actually I think the next day Isaiah Cottrell committed to us.
Yeah.
Who's that 4-star?
Yeah, that's a big crew.
6'8" power forward, yeah. Brian Lewin's son out of Las Vegas, and he had like 30 offers.
Yeah,
so
that was a big.
That's
kind
of a huge recruit.
Yeah, absolutely,
I mean that's huge.
In fact, I think he might announce the night we did the podcast. It was just
it wasn't long after.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been the next day.
It was either that night or the next day.
It was
quick.
Damn, I wish we'd have mentioned
it. It was quick. So I mean, depending on what happens with Culver, I don't know how much development he's going to have this year. I mean, a lot of people are thinking this is it for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think Schwebe will stay at least 2 years, but I mean,
really?
You could have Culver and Schwebe and
Cottrell.
And Cottrell on the same court.
Wow. Man, that's the problem is we do a lot of what ifs.
I know we do.
We got, it never pans out that way. So
it's fun to dream.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun to dream.
It could be worse, it could be Teddy Buckets.
Yeah, well, he's on the list. I guess Huggins knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And the ironic part about that is of course, Teddy Allen actually got, I think when we did the show 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how he had a domestic dispute.
Yeah.
And the university releases that normal statement where we're reviewing the facts and see. Well, they kicked him off the team.
Yeah, it was that bad.
The irony of that whole situation is that one of the guys that we were recruiting for this class, Josephat Bilal, who's 6'10", visited Morgantown last Monday, committed to Wichita State 2 days ago.
Really?
So, Teddy Allen getting kicked. So, he screwed us again.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's a double whammy.
Yeah. Because he was a knucklehead, he cost us another recruit. Now, I don't know how. I mean, that guy was probably more of a gap filler anyway,
yeah, exactly.
But still. So, it looks like we're down to. We got 2 spots left.
I don't know how we're feeling.
The 2 names that they're surfacing now are a guy named Otis Frazier, who's 6'5". I think he's at an Arizona Community College. Mm-hmm. And a guy named Devin Cambridge. Who's also 6'5".
They're just body fillers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that Ethan Richardson guy.
Yeah, just body fillers.
You're talking about the 9, 10, 11, 12 guys.
Yeah.
So if I'm just curious if they're going to try to, if they can't get both those guys, get one of those guys. I mean, are they going to put Rout back on scholarship?
They should. Might as well. I mean, hell. He deserves it. He's going to play as much as anybody.
And he's going to work hard.
Yeah, exactly. He is what he is. And he's going to give you all he's got. And that's all you can ask for a player.
That's all you need.
Yeah. And he's 6'10". There's not a lot of 6'10 people out there.
No. No. Hard to believe he played quarterback in high school.
No kidding.
Hard to believe. And then we got a preferred walk-on for the basketball team. I don't know if you saw this. Spencer Mackey from Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just going to be a practice guy anyway.
Exactly. They're just bodies.
But talking about Shweboy, he actually is officially enrolled, and he is going to be able to play on our overseas trip.
Yeah, it's awesome. All but two, right? There's two of them that haven't signed up yet.
Tajmil Sherman and...
I'm going to have to relearn all the roles.
It might be Ethan Richardson.
I think that's right.
Those might be the two that haven't. Because I know McNeil has. And because there's five. Because Shweboy.
McBride's in.
Miles McBride. Yeah. Or Deuce McBride. And Sean McNeil.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all in. So. Yeah. So we got two spots.
They started practices this week, right?
I think so. Yeah. This week or next week. Yeah, because we leave in a couple weeks.
Yeah. So they were able
to we're over there for what, 10 days?
10 days.
Mm-hmm. How many games have they played, you know? Four?
No, maybe not.
I'm thinking it's four. I don't know.
Anyway. As many as they can play.
Yeah. God knows we need all the playing time we can get.
Exactly.
Saw this week, which I thought was interesting. John Morant, who got drafted number two.
He said he's the toughest player you ever played against.
He's the toughest, best player you ever played against. He said, it was funny. I was watching the interview. And he said, well, it's funny you asked me that. He said, because we're actually getting ready to be teammates. Javon Carter.
Yeah. Well, Javon, he felt like, 32 against him? I can't remember how much. I might be overstating it. But when did we play them?
It was last year's NCAA tournament, first round.
Yeah, and Carter way outplayed him.
Wore him out.
Yeah.
Wore him out.
Yeah.
I think he only had like 10 or 12 points.
Yeah.
Money had that much.
He was in double digits, but it wasn't that
he
much.
He was well below
and
his
And Carter
average.
Was lit him up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he did. He did. So
that was good. I guess they traded
Mike Conley. To Utah.
So, I mean, Carter's going to be on the team, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. So, the other big news was Mazzulla getting hired by the Celtics.
Totally unexpected.
Where'd that come from?
I have no idea. Apparently, he went to one of their camps, and they were really impressed by him.
Was he coaching in the G League? I thought I saw something about the G League.
Maybe something like that. But there was something that they were really impressed with him.
Because he was at Fairmont.
There was some summer league. They were really impressed with him.
Wasn't he head coach at Fairmont for a while?
Oh, yeah, for the last couple of years. So they were impressed with him. And then I guess when they had a turnover, they reached out to him.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's from Rhode Island, isn't he?
Yep.
So he's up from that area. Yo, that's too cool.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's too cool. And so put that now it's like it's a race between who's going to be the natural successor to Huggins. Mazzulla or Darius Nichols?
Well, and supposedly Huggins and Nichols had a falling out.
What?
Yeah.
He loved. Wow, I don't know how that happened. Maybe it was over recruiting.
I don't know what happened. Because Nichols, is he still on Florida staff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd heard they had a falling out. I don't know what the details were. Yeah. I mean, I know Huggins at one point loved Nichols and obviously loved Mazzulla. I mean, hell, Mazzulla. I mean, I always remember him guarding Boogie Cousins in the.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
He was a hell of a ball player.
Yeah.
But the other big news this week is the 2019 WVU Hall of Fame class was announced. Mm-hmm. You got Meg Bulger, Steve Dunlap, John Thornton, Daryl Prue.
Oh, it's my favorite player growing up.
Yeah. Greg Jones and Virtus Jones, who were both wrestlers. I think Virtus was there when I was in school.
Did you hear the story about they kept offering Greg Jones to be a the Hall of Fame candidate, and he kept turning it down because Greg Hunter was talking about it on Sports Line on Sunday, and he apparently had issues with the old wrestling coach and would just said no.
Turnbull.
Yeah, he didn't want to be part of it.
Really.
And then finally, when they decided to induct his brother, he said yeah. So they're going to induct them both together.
And I didn't know this. They're the first, I think, the only set of siblings to be in the Hall of Fame. Other than the Bulgers. All three Bulgers are in the Hall of Fame now. Mark, Meg, and Kate.
Yep.
And Meg
was the best of all. She wasn't injured. She'd still be playing in the NBA.
Now, let me tell you something else. Meg was not ugly.
No.
Not at all.
No.
But I digress. Speaking of women, the women's soccer team beat Spain 2-1, as you mentioned, on Monday. So they play France Friday.
Yep.
So hopefully they'll be able to
There's quite a few WU alumni playing in that whole Women's Cup. There's one from...
Probably Canada.
One of Canada's team.
That Buchanan girl.
Yeah, there's two other ones, but I can't remember what teams they play on. But yeah, man, I've actually been watching a little bit of the...
Oh, yeah, I took off work, went to BW3s with Artie.
To watch the women's
game. Watch women's
game. Are you doing anything on Friday?
You
France? That's going to be... The people picking France to beat the women's team.
Well, we didn't play very good the other night.
I watched that on my phone at the gym lobby office. Because I was sitting there and I...
You sure you want to say that on the air?
No. I was sitting there. I was waiting for phone calls.
You were in between.
Anybody to walk in.
In between sales.
I was doing what I was supposed to do.
In between sales.
I'm waiting for somebody to walk in or call.
Waiting on a lawyer to bring you some
and
paperwork.
In the meantime, I was watching the soccer game.
Nothing wrong with that. And on a sad note, Kerry Marbury died.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. I didn't know he was classmates with Nick Saban back in high school.
Yeah.
They went to high school.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't see what the details were. Had he been
either.
Sick or did
he? I mean, he's got to be in his 60s. I mean,
he played at WVU in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm. How old is Saban? They got to be the same age.
Saban's 64, 65.
So, I don't think anything can listen to him. I think he just passed away.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So that was tough. So a lot going on. All right. You want to take a break and then we'll do some heavy lifting here in the second segment. Talk a little football.
Yes. Let's do it. Welcome back to One More and I'm Going Home and Going to Bed. Now it's time for a little afternoon football talk.
66 days till football season.
Love it. Can't wait. I saw an article today that they announced the time.
James Madison game is at 2 p.m. on AT&T Sportsnet.
It's an odd time.
Yeah, but...
I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
For that game,
yeah.
I mean, Labor Day weekend...
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you don't have to. You can leave early enough to where you can get there and tailgate, and you can be home probably by 7, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever remember a 2 o'clock game.
I don't ever remember a 2 o'clock game.
No,
we've had I think 1 or 2 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't ever remember a 2 o'clock game. Cool.
So that was at 2, and then Missouri and NC State are both at noon.
Yeah,
on either ESPN or ESPN2, mm-hmm. And I think the only other two games that the times are set is Baylor, which is a weeknight game. 8 o'clock, and then TCU, which is 3:30. That's our last game.
That's a Thanksgiving weekend, right? Is that
the
Friday night?
It might be
a
Friday. Yeah, it's at 3:30.
Okay.
So 66 days, man. It'll be here before you know it.
I know.
I don't know if that's good, bad, or in between.
Yeah, I'm getting more nervous as it comes along.
I am too.
I started off optimistic. Now I'm just nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think. We're going to be fine. I think we're going to be competitive. I just don't know.
Which we have to be patient.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not something we're good at. So, a lot to
know
get
about their fans.
No. Lot to get into with the recruiting.
The last 2 weeks. More. You got to carry this load. It is way too much.
Biggest news and the good news is Zach Frazier, the lineman from Fairmont,
mm-hmm.
committed. He's a big time defensive tackle, but it sounds like we're recruiting him as a center.
Mm-hmm.
Or possibly a guard. And I thought it was cool. He actually committed on West Virginia Day.
Yeah, that was the best part. Yeah, absolutely.
So that was good. So for every big-time story, you got one that's disappointing, which is Sean Martin, the kid from Bluefield, who I think I told you when I went to the basketball game this year, maybe I was the reason why he didn't come. Because I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, man, we'd love to have you in Morgantown. He's like, buddy, fuck you. I ain't going to Morgantown. He's going to North Carolina. I don't get that.
I don't either.
I mean, he had a slew of offers. I mean, he's a big kid, 6'6", 240, prototypical defensive end. Mm-hmm. And obviously with these, and we'll get into this in a minute, how quickly these 17, 18-year-old kids can change their mind.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, so, I mean, I doubt we'll completely back off, but I just – and everybody said – you know, another thing I thought was interesting is everybody was making the argument that Chapel Hill – was closer to Bluefield than Morgantown, which it's close.
Yeah, it's going to be close.
It's close.
Still, I mean, you live in Bluefield, West Virginia.
Right.
You don't live in Bluefield, North Carolina.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Honestly, everybody
thought, you know, Bluefield kid, you know, your biggest competition is going to be Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's what you think.
And that's what I thought, too. Yeah. So North Carolina kind of came out of nowhere. And then the other bad news was Aaron Lewis, who was the big four-star defensive end out of New Jersey, that was probably one of, if not the biggest recruits in the class for next year.
Yeah.
Decommitted. Now he's going to Michigan.
Yeah.
So you got that going on. And then right after that, we had the 6'5", 300-pound tackle from Jersey, Chris Mayo, who had like 20 offers, yeah, was down to us in Kentucky. He committed to us.
Yep.
So you got that. And then we had another tackle. I believe he's a JUCO. Jacob Gamble, 6'7", 325. Big kid. Real big kid. He committed. Noah Guzman, who's a JUCO safety, yeah, who actually is for this class.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he committed. And I was looking earlier today, and I think he actually is enrolled.
Enrolled.
Yeah. So that was big news. Then we had
we needed some safeties at this point.
Well, obviously, with Pitts and Robinson, everybody else leaving. And then today, defensive end Quinnen Williams, who was down to us, Miami, and maybe Florida State, he committed to Miami.
Yeah.
So we lost him. We picked up a wide receiver from Gaithersburg, Maryland, which is actually where Pat and Paul are from.
Oh, but they're ecstatic.
Well, it was funny because when I saw it, David
I feel bad for them, though, because he sucks. And they're going to get the treatment that Chips gets.
They've been wearing Chips' ass out. Poor Chips. They've been wearing his ass out. He just bought a house, and he sent a picture out earlier today, and he's got a Wes Tonkery's 37 jersey. And then he took a picture of the blank wall, and he was like, there's a space for number 10 right here. And Gwen was like, do you know something we don't know? And he sent out two pictures of Austin Kendall and Trey Lowe, who are both number 10. Didn't even mention Dylan Tonk. So then, of course, Chip sends out an article from the Bridgeport Connect about how great the Tonkery family is. Oh, but anyway, shit. I digress. But, so we got him, and we got Linnell Carr, defensive end from St. Louis. I thought this was interesting. I'm probably going to butcher his name. Gyro Favoris.
Yeah.
Cornerback from England.
Yeah.
England. I thought they just played cricket in England.
Hey, we got some recruiting reach. That's all we're saying.
I guess we're reaching. Yeah. We're reaching pretty far. But he had some offers, man. He had Penn State, Georgia Tech, Minnesota. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he was, completely off the radar. And then we got a walk-on kicker named Danny King. So we'll see how that goes. So, all in all, after all the additions, subtractions, and back and forth, it's like watching two Chinese people play ping pong.
No kidding.
We got 10 commitments for next year, which is good this early in the because you only got 15 more spots.
Yeah, exactly.
At most.
That's really good.
And Rivals released their top 100 last week. We've offered 33 of them. Isaiah Johnson from Bluefield, Zaki Lawton from South Charleston, and Wyatt Milam from Spring Valley. They weren't. None of them were in the list. Apparently, Milam is going to end up being projects to be the best one of those three. Obviously, we've offered all three of them, so we'll see how all that shakes out. But that's recruiting, man.
And you can't expect to get every one of them. I mean, even in-state people, you can't expect to get all of them. You hope to get majority of them. That's and especially the ones that have that ability to play Division One. You hope to get the majority of them. I still think we'll do that. We're going to miss on a few here and there.
Well, yeah, you're going
to. More power to them.
But the thing about this staff, it seems like they're swinging. They're swinging the bat.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't. If you don't swing the bat, you're not going to get a hit. At least if you swing it, one of two things is going to happen.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I told Isaac all the time when he was in the league. I was like, I'd rather you strike out swinging
than
strike out looking. So go up here and swing the bat.
Speaking of striking out looking, Marcus Sims is going into the supplemental draft.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising.
I don't think anybody wants to take a chance on him. I mean, he's obviously a little bit of a head case, and then you couple that with the academic fraud.
Yeah, you got to give up like a late round pick. Somebody might give up a late round pick on him. Fifth, sixth, he can fly.
I mean, he may play.
Yeah, exactly. And he may play.
I mean, we talked about it.
He was our best receiver. And, we had two guys are now on NFL rosters ahead of him, so somebody's going to take a chance on him.
Yeah.
It might be later, but somebody's going to take a chance on him. I would bet. I could be wrong.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
But people don't pass up talent.
Nah.
And he's talented.
He's definitely talented. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. And Derek Pitts is going to Marshall.
Totally surprising.
I didn't see it. I didn't realize that, and I hate to even bring his name up because Dave Taylor said we should do a whole show on this guy. But he works for the Gazette now. I didn't know that.
Oh, I had a...
Your boy Chuck Landon.
No, I went to my first day at Washington Housing Development Authority. There's a guy there who wrote an article, who wrote an editorial letter to the Gazette complaining that they hired Chuck Landon.
He's the worst sports writer in
history. Terrible.
He's terrible.
He's terrible.
I couldn't believe, and I think I sent this out.
I refuse to click on anything he said, so I won't read anything. I refuse to give him clicks. Do not click on his articles.
I've never seen a guy who is a, and I'm not trying to bash. I mean, I think we're past all that. I mean, there's such a separation now; it's not even worth getting into. But he's obviously a Marshall beat writer.
Oh yeah.
But I've never
He's covered WVU now.
But I would. Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of his beat. He's covered WVU.
Because the one article that because Booth brings me Gazettes every now and again, I won't get on the internet and look at it. Because I don't want to give him clicks.
Exactly. Don't give him clicks.
So he sends me this big article. So he's talking, I'll get into this in a little bit, about the disparity in the TV revenue. And at the end of it, he's talking about the baseball game where we lost to, who the hell beat us? Duke? No, A&M. Texas A&M. He was like, man, can anybody find a worse way to lose a baseball game than West? I'm thinking, you don't even cover WVU.
Exactly.
Is he the sports editor now?
It's something. It's something cool. That's what that guy was so mad about. Is he's covered WVU too.
He's an asshat.
He is literally an asshat. George will tell you he likes to show up to work in his sweatpants.
I don't even want to think about him.
he's not worth it.
But I thought about going off on a tangent about him, but I don't want to give him the time of day.
No.
So I'm gonna pass.
Yeah, let's pass.
So Pitts is going to Marshall. Wish him the best of luck. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, good luck in what conference they in?
Somebody
said they should now try to get in the AAC now that UConn left.
That'd probably be a good idea for them.
It's got to be better than what the conference they're in now, honestly.
Be a lot less travel.
Yeah.
I mean, they screwed up, and Larry Canterbury won't admit this, but they should have never left the MAC.
No!
They should have never left the MAC.
They did a lot better than
that. They should have never left the MAC. Shane Lyons had a press conference last week. A lot of good stuff in there. I don't know. I didn't actually watch it, but I just kind of went through the highlights. Summation of it. Couple things. Which we've talked about. Neil Brown's a winner, family oriented, community oriented, which we've hit on that multiple times. And there's been rampant speculation about the football stadium moving from Granville.
Yeah.
It ain't happening.
Okay.
He said we are not moving the football stadium. He said we're working on a contract extension for Randy Mazey, which was good.
Yeah.
He was talking about he definitely deserves it. He's talking about the golf team. We're actually leasing the White Day course right now.
Okay.
And we're looking to buy it.
No.
Is what he said. And then he said once if all that goes through, then they'll make the necessary renovations and all that stuff. They're looking for, to add to the Coliseum, they're looking for naming rights from Big Donor.
Yeah.
So they haven't had any takers. That'd be good something for you to do.
Yeah. The Josh Jones Arena.
Josh Jones Coliseum. Josh Jones Court.
Can I borrow some money?
Yeah. I can write you a check right now. But you drop that son of a bitch, it's liable to bounce right back up into your hand.
A good place for Jim Lovely Insurance.
It would be. It's all balls in your court, Jimmy.
They're statewide.
Yeah.
And beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We're wide reaching. We cast a broad net. Broad net. We're updating the indoor practice facility, which obviously needs to happen. I thought this was neat. This past year, our APR for academics was the highest in history at 985.
Yeah.
The GPA of our athletes was 3.26, which was higher than the student average.
Yeah. That's really good.
That's amazing.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That really is impressive. Football. Of course, it helps you have like dedicated tutors.
Well,
some of them.
Well, some of them may or may not be above board.
Yeah.
You got the football had their highest GPA ever at 2.94, which was good, which is really good. And then they actually brought in an outside firm. I didn't write the name down. I can't remember who it was, but they did a study from 2017 to 2018 of the revenue impact that WVU has on the state.
No.
$300 million for the state. For Maughan County alone, it's $78 million.
I believe it.
$300 million for the state.
I believe it.
That's a lot of jig jack.
Yeah. It is. I mean, they hire all the places. You think about Even in Beckley here, Washington Tech. I mean, that's an extension of WVU. So, I mean, all that stuff, all the jobs and all the business they bring about, it's all ready to WVU.
Yeah, and that number, those numbers actually do not include TV revenue.
Speaking of that, how's the TV revenue going to change? Did they change the third tier rights?
Yep, I think they did. Actually, that's one of the things I was going to talk about, because that was another thing Lyons hit on, because he was talking about the importance of staying on top of the arms race.
Yeah.
Because there is such a disparity now between the Group of Five and the Power Five. And to kind of put it in perspective, last year, and this is, I don't think this is counting Tier 3, we made between $36 and $38 million
right.
with our TV contract. Marshall made $200,000.
Yeah. You call it loss. I want to say, I could be wrong on this number, but I want to say it was an ungodly $26 million last year.
They lost?
That's why they got into the Big East. They lost $26 million. Think about it. When it came down to it, the last three to try to find a spot, well, maybe last four, because Louisville was there too. When the whole Big East broke down, was us, Louisville, Cincinnati, and UConn. And luckily, us and Louisville found a spot. And look at Cincinnati and South Florida. And Cincinnati, South Florida, and UConn got stuck in terrible leagues. And Cincinnati and South Florida have been doing okay. UConn has been hammered. I mean, absolutely hammered. Their football.
But you would think that their TV revenue would be, I'm thinking it would have been at least $4, 5, 6 million. I don't know how in the hell Marshall at $200,000. I mean, they got four or five teams in Texas they got to go play.
Yeah.
And you're just talking about the football and basketball.
Yeah.
Not to mention the other sports.
Yeah. I mean, the disparity between the haves and have-nots is never more than it is right now. And luckily, and people complain about us being in the Big 12, and you know we should have been in the ACC, but the ACC was never going to take us from the get-go. We're happy to be where we are. We're making $38 million for the Big 12. I mean, it's better than losing or making losing $26 million like UConn did. So, I'll take that as opposed to losing money.
All day.
You need to take a break?
Yeah. A little frog in the throat.
You got anything to hit on this segment? Are we ready for...
No, I think we hit everything.
All right. Ready for... Four questions or two assholes?
Yeah, this should be interesting.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. All right, we'll be back.
Welcome back to One More, I'm Going Home, Going to Bed, where I have finished going through puberty.
And your refrigerator is the coldest refrigerator ever right now.
Pretty cold.
So if you heard an old shit in the last segment, that's because I cracked the beer and it was ice and the beer started going everywhere.
Well, to be fair, it's not the real fridge, it's the beer fridge.
It's the beer fridge. In your new luxurious home.
Yeah, that's a big word, luxurious.
I would try to spell that.
I might put that in parenthetical quotes. Luxurious. All right, so four questions, two assholes.
All right, you want me to go first on the sports question?
You go first on the sports, and I'll go first on the non-sports.
All right, that sounds good. Let me bring in my question here. All right, so... like you said, and I said, we've been watching the Women's World Cup going on, right? The soccer match, even without the USA playing, I've been watching. Where do you rate watching soccer, men or women, as opposed to other sports?
Very low. Very low. And this is coming from somebody who played soccer for 15 years.
But here's the thing. Exactly. I thought you might watch it a little bit more.
No, I don't.
Because I did. I played soccer when I was 7. And I wasn't the best soccer player. I was okay. They called me Dragon Foot for a reason. I would drag my foot when
dragon
I would
Dragon Foot
the ball.
Or Dragon Breath?
Well, both.
Okay.
That's why I played baseball after that. So I was a baseball player. I played baseball in the summertime. But I would rather watch soccer. Like, I would rate football number one.
Yeah.
I think without a doubt. Even though, you know, they're long games, but I'd rather watch football, I think, than almost anything.
Oh, without a doubt.
But then basketball, particularly WU playing, I do not like NBA basketball.
I don't watch pros.
Yeah. So basketball, college, above everything else. And then I would put soccer.
Would you really?
and maybe even hockey above baseball. Now, I love listening to baseball, and I love baseball.
I'll tell you this. I played soccer, and I was pretty good. I played golf until I probably about 20, years ago.
I watched golf.
I would rather watch golf than watch soccer.
Really?
Yep.
See, I love golf because unless it's a major, I can put it on and go to sleep.
Now,
I take a nap, wake up, see what's going on.
I don't disagree with that. Well, I think I saw something where they said an average baseball game is 3 hours. There's actually 12 minutes of action.
That's the thing about baseball. I was telling this to somebody the other day. Is that you can watch baseball and something else at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you can watch it, flip it over, and then just flip it over to see the at-bat.
Now, I'll watch when the U.S. is playing, like the women are playing, I'll watch it.
Right.
I'll watch that. Now, if it's 2 years from now and I'm flipping through the channels and they're playing Hungary in some game, it doesn't mean I'm not watching that.
Right.
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, but you also go flip the channels and you see the Yankees playing the Red Sox. You go stop and watch it?
Nope.
Yeah. Nope. So,
but I think
so what's your rankings?
I would watch the Yankees and Red Sox before I would watch the women's play Hungary in soccer. I said women's. Women.
I can see that. What about the men? If it was men playing Brazil.
Men are fucking terrible.
Yeah, they're terrible. But there was a stretch where they were good, though. They were good for what we were.
It's utterly amazing at how good the women are. The men are equally as bad.
It's true.
They didn't even qualify for the World Cup last time.
Yeah, it's sad.
I mean, it's pathetic.
And the few years they did, it was fun watching them play. Yeah.
We hosted in '94. We won a game. I think we won a game, tied a game.
Yeah.
Played Brazil tough, whatever. Mm-hmm. But no. I mean, I have this conversation with guys where, I mean, I played soccer, and I mean, that was one of my main sports, but I'm not an avid watcher.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm not.
Yeah. So what's your rankings? You got football, basketball?
Football, basketball. I'd probably put baseball and hockey during the playoffs.
Hockey in the playoffs. I have never seen a live hockey game. I've always wanted to go.
I've never been
to hockey. But hockey during the playoffs is one of the most fun things you'll ever watch, especially when it gets in the overtime. It's like sudden death. Is the most dramatic thing you'll watch. Because, one, you can't figure out where the hell the puck is half the time. So,
they try to do that thing where they
I love it, though. Yeah. I really do love it. And I'm not even hockey. I don't even have a team to root for in hockey, but I like watching it. Now, Olympics hockey, I will watch it root
for USA.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, any, like, Olympics, World Cup, when the USA is involved, I mean, I'll watch it.
Yeah, hell, I'm going to watch icing.
During the Olympics, I mean, you watch shit you wouldn't even imagine what you'd watch.
Yeah. You're like cross-country skiing.
Oh, yeah.
No!
Come on! You know, it's like sewing and shit. You're like, yeah, come on, stitch that damn hem. Come on! You can do it!
That is true. When it comes to, like, any kind of international thing.
Oh, you're all about it. Yeah, you're absolutely. All about it. Swimming. You watch swimming?
Yeah.
I don't ever watch swimming.
No, never watch swimming.
Couldn't care less about swimming.
I was at somewhere the other night, and Taz was with me, and she was like, are you really watching lacrosse on TV? I was like, yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by this. Don't say that off of me. I want to see what's happening.
Yeah. That's a good question.
All right.
So Zach Frazier committed this last week. In-state recruit. What is the most excited in-state recruit, football or basketball? Now, the obvious answer is Chase Harler, so don't use that one. And besides Chase Harler, obviously Jerry West and Hot Rod Hunley, who obviously committed before you and I were born.
Right.
But probably the last 30 years. Who's somebody that you got excited about?
Well, I was too young to say. Was it Randolph who was a running back?
Pat Randolph?
Yeah. Oh, the most excited in-state.
Football or basketball.
Recruit that we have had. Oh, who was the lineman from Capital who chose us when Rodriguez started? From Capital, from Charleston area.
From Capital.
Eric.
We got a guy from Nitro. We got Cole Bowers from Nitro.
No. It was between us and Ohio State. And he chose us over Ohio State. It was Bill Stewart's first year.
You're talking about Josh Jenkins from
Parkersburg? Josh Jenkins.
From Parkersburg.
Yeah. That was probably the most excited that I got for a WVU recruit.
Quincy. I was excited about Quincy.
Yeah.
And I honestly, probably last year or two, Dante Steeles. I was pretty fired up about that.
That was true. That's big.
When we got Pitt Snoggle, he was a Catlett recruit, but I went down to the States and watched him play Catlett.
He got owned by a smaller kid.
Carl Booker was 6 foot, and he wore his ass out.
Yeah.
I mean, so he wasn't somebody like...
If Catlett would still been the coach...
He'd have never panned out.
Nobody would ever have said, you got Pitt Snoggle.
He'd have never panned
out. Nobody would ever said that. If Beeline had come and become coach, Pitt Snoggle was the perfect fit.
For his system.
For his system. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better fit.
Nope.
For his system.
Nope.
But yeah, I think Josh Jenkins, because it was...
That was big.
Who was the coach? Was it Stewart?
It was the transition period because I remember because he had a Michigan hat.
Yeah.
An Ohio State hat and a West Virginia hat, and he put the Michigan hat on and then threw it.
Yeah.
Because Gibby was actually his lead recruiter.
Right.
And Gibby had followed Rich to Michigan. And then he ended up coming to Morgan.
Yeah.
And he had a good career.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But as a recruit...
That was a big recruit. Yeah, Josh Jenkins is a good one.
Yeah. I think that's probably the most excited I was about a West Virginia product coming to WU.
Yeah.
Was that one.
Not Chase Harler? Tom Booth's answer would be Chase Harler.
Without a doubt. Loves Chase Harler.
I wouldn't even be able to finish the question. And he'd have chimed right in. Chase Harler. All right. Non-sports.
All right.
Summertime.
Summertime.
A lot of yard work, landscaping.
Yeah.
Outdoor work going on.
I garden.
Well, you garden. Do you have a good mowing, landscaping?
Just this week.
Okay.
Literally just this week. So I am mowing grass at my house. Early last week. And I'm mowing, and Gene Walker. The famous Gene Walker. We had a sports game named after him. People who don't know.
Walker Ball.
Gene, I graduated with Gene in high school.
His Christian name is Winifred, I believe.
Is it really?
I think so.
I did not know that.
I think so.
But he used to work they used to pick up trash in some way, shape, or form. So we were in college. We developed a game that we would throw a football into a trash can. And you got points, or if you hit it, you got points if you made it. And then the loser had to go to the You Suck line and try to hit the can from like a 50-yard throw.
Which with you guys would have been any line you were standing in.
Yeah, exactly. And so we named it Walker Ball because we were using trash cans. So that's a little bit of history. Well, now he's got his own landscape business, which he is terrible at. Terrible at. Because he had cut the grass of my neighbors, and they did such a terrible job that they had to bring him back to fix what they had.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Ada across the street. they hired Gene Walker. Yeah, yeah. So they hired Gene Walker. So I'm mowing my grass in the front yard, right? On my riding lawnmower. He pulled up and and Gene Walker gets on his riding lawnmower and rides it across the street to talk to me on the riding lawnmower. I didn't even stop. I was like, Gene, I'm trying to get this grass done for rates. I was like, I don't know what he was singing a song.
The only thing better than that would have been if he was chasing you and Jeff Atha would have come outside and refereed between the two of you.
Did
you outrun him?
Yeah, I never stopped. He came and pulled to me. I was like, Gene, I got to get this done. I was like, I don't know what you want to talk about, but... Good to see you, buddy.
How about those Tudor's biscuits?
I said, go cut the grass over there, man. But he literally, I was in her mom, I look over, and he's waving at me. I was like, hey, so when I come around the next pass, he's driving across the road on the riding lawnmower to come talk to me.
He's trying to make friends, man. He's probably not on Facebook. That's his way of making friends.
He's probably thinking,
he makes eye contact.
Hey, I can mow your grass, you don't have to. I was like, I have a riding lawnmower. I can mow my own grass.
He's like, you take the left side, I'll take the right. I'll meet you in the middle. Team on three.
Anybody have a chance to look up Gene Walker and his music videos?
I think you plugged that last time, too.
To his biscuit world.
Mine was going to be when I taught Garrett how to cut grass. And I had him out there. We lived on Westchester, and he was probably seven. Yeah, I think he was seven. I said, all right, you know, here, make a pass here, make a box. He did great. Yep. You know, then it started sprinkling a little bit. And I said, here, I'll finish up. Got on the side. I think I had Skechers on for some reason. I had closed-toe heavy shoes on. So it starts sprinkling, and I'm on the side of the house, and the grass is getting wet, so the grass is clumping up underneath the shield. So, you know, you kind of bang the lawnmower down a little bit here and there. So I had done that a couple times, and it was stuck in there. So I had kicked it with my foot a couple times, and the grass had come out. You can keep going. Well, I tried that one more time, and I went to kick it, and my left foot gave out, and the lawnmower blade went right down on top of my right foot. Oh, well, I kept cutting grass for like a minute, two minutes, and all of a sudden my foot started to go numb, and I stopped, and I took my shoe off, and my sock was red. And I walked over to the front porch, and I said, Leslie, I think maybe we might need to take a field trip down to the old emergency room. Because I believe I have sliced my toe. Had Garrett out there showing him how to cut grass. Ended up in the ER.
Good follow the example right there.
Once again, I'm showing him what not to do. It was a teaching moment.
That's what's all that matters.
It was a teaching moment.
It was like, look, don't ever do this because you will go to the emergency room.
Do as I say, not as I do. All right, you feel good about this. Your question, so.
What you ready? Got?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so, had a friend this week who got real drunk and fell and hit their face on the bathroom tub and has now a giant bruise on their face.
Is this friend remaining anonymous?
Yes, I'm going to keep it anonymous. Okay. It's not, anybody real close, it's a friend.
Okay.
So, it made me think, what is your worst drunken injury?
My worst drunken injury.
Uh-huh. And if you don't tell the story I expect you to tell, I'm going to tell it anyway.
I'm trying to think what story.
I'll tell mine while you're thinking.
All right, go ahead.
Mine was without a doubt. I was...
Oh, I think I know.
I know exactly. You better tell the story.
It was on this street.
Yeah, exactly. You better tell the story. So anyway, so mine is I was in college, and Dave and I decided to quit our jobs. I was at Outback, and he was at Kroger's. And we decided to have an unemployment party. So we had an unemployment party. And we invited people from Kroger's out back to the party. It was February. It was cold. And we had a keg on the outside. And I lived with McClung and I can't remember who the other roommate was. But so it might just be me, Dave McClung. But the girl I was kind of talking to was there at the party. And we were in the back, and the keg was outside. So we opened the door, it got cold. So someone went to go to get a keg, get a drink out of the keg, and I was goofing around and opening the door, opening and shutting the door. Well, the girl I was kind of talking to kicked the door, and it smashed my hand in between the door. So I was pissed. So I went over to our African neighbors. They were over in Africa, so we hung out with them all the time. And I got a Band-Aid for it. Didn't think anything about it. Continued drinking. Woke up the next morning, and my hand was so swollen, and especially my middle finger, it was solid black and about the size of like a golf ball. That's about how big it was. So I had to go to the doctor, and they had to take a hot needle and go through the nail and release all the pressure. And I never told that girl again.
I bet not.
That was it. And I was called No Call Jones for a reason in college. Once I said not to talk to anybody, I was done talking to somebody. And that was it. There was no phone calls, no conversations at that point. But I am lucky that that was my worst drunken injury. You want to hear yours?
Yeah. You probably know more of the details of the story. I mean, I remember the post game.
I remember picking out flowers.
Well, that was it. Because Jimmy Tipton, who actually lived in the house right beside where I am right now. We were partying with him.
Well, first of all, we went rafting.
Right.
We took a 30-pack down the river.
That's when you lived over here, and Ronnie and I picked you up, and you said beer on the fly. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning.
And I think out of that 30-pack, only me, you, and Jimmy drank it going down the river.
Probably.
And so we had about 10 beers each.
Yeah, because I remember the girl on the raft in front of us was we went through a big rapid, and then we got through it, and then you kind of, you know, stall out. She's like, hey, did you guys see go through that rapid back there? We're like, no, shit, we must have missed it.
No, we got out and walked around.
Yeah.
It
took a break.
I remember
it. Anyway, go ahead.
So then, after we got off the river, and it was low, so it was really slow, that entire, so we were all sunburnt. There's a picture of us all bright red.
Yep.
So they were the Dirty Ernie's, and we drank an absorbent amount of beer at Dirty Ernie's. And then we went to Jimmy Tipton's house and drank more beer. So did Leslie come to pick you up? I can't remember.
I think she came in and realized what was going on. Then she went to leave, and I went to get her.
And you failed on the driveway.
Running down the driveway. And I went down like there was one of those slip and slides. Except there
was
no
slip.
There was no.
It was just slide.
There was no water, and there was no plastic apparatus to break my fall. And I mean, I went down. I mean, and I mean, my elbows, face,
quite a bit of loss of skin.
Oh my god, I was cut up all to hell.
So that point, after we wrapped you up with I don't know how much ace bandages,
it was a lot.
Me and you were the Kroger's.
And I wanted to buy her flowers.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good idea.
So we were
in Kroger's, and I'm picking up flowers. I'm like, oh, this is dead. This is dead. This petal's dead. I'm throwing petals on the ground or on the floor of Kroger's, in the middle of Kroger's, you know. And I ended up going back to her because, you know, her mom and dad just live right around the corner here. And I went downstairs. She was sitting there, and I had the flowers with me. And I said, here, honey. She just shook her head. I mean, I'm covered in blood. I don't know.
That next day, you showed up at Dirty Ernie's, and you were like a mummy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was bandaged up like hell. I was wrapped from head to toe. I mean, I fell just right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just, I don't even know what caught me. I don't know. It probably just was what had happened previously is what caught me. There was probably no rock or anything I tripped on. It was just 10 hours of where I was that put me in that position. Yeah, face planted right down the driveway. I'd forgotten about that. And once again, I appreciate you bringing that up.
That's what I'm here for.
I do. So on that note.
I guess we're going to have one more going home and going to bed.
One more going home and going to bed.
All right.